Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. This week, as we continue to look at Jesus' ministry as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, we come across three characters who are physically deprived of one sense or another, with two blind men and one man who is mute because a demon has possessed him and is preventing him from speaking. But while we see physical deprivation, we also see spiritual deprivation in people who refuse to see the truth of who Jesus is. And we see those who are spiritually aware and can recognise Jesus' status. So I'm going to read from Matthew 9, verses 27 to 34. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. When the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." So before we focus on the main thing for this morning, I want to note something. So these encounters occur straight after Jesus has healed the woman with bleeding and raised a little girl from the dead. And so Jesus has created quite a stir in the area, and people are beginning to talk and wonder, who is this man? And then when the blind men see Jesus, they cry out to him, "Have mercy on us, son of David." Now, it might seem strange and a bit out of character to us that Jesus carried on walking and waited until he was inside before he turned to the blind men following him. The title they used to address Jesus, Son of David, was a messianic and kingly proclamation. If the crowd saw Jesus turn and respond to this title, it would have encouraged them to try to anoint Jesus as an earthly king over Israel, thus starting a revolution against the Romans. Jesus knew this was not God's plan, and so while he had mercy and compassion on the blind men, he waited to respond to them so that God's will could be followed. Sometimes we come to God wondering why he hasn't responded to our cries for mercy. It can feel sometimes like God is ignoring our requests, but I want to encourage you that God never ignores us. He may not answer in the way that we want him to. He may even say no. Or, as in this interaction, he might wait to answer our cries so that his will can continue to be done in the situation. If you have a desperate request of God, if you're crying out for mercy, don't give up. Don't lose heart. He is with you and he does answer us. So that was a bit of an aside that I wanted to emphasise before we move on to the main focus for the sermon. I want to look at the men who were deprived of their sight and the man that was deprived of his speech, and yet they also displayed or received spiritual insight. The blind men were physically unable to see, yet spiritually they recognised Jesus. And the man possessed by a demon was mute and cut off from relationship with God, yet Jesus restored his speech and his connection with God. Looking at the man who was possessed by a demon first, we see someone who has evil inside of him that was so great it was preventing him from speaking. We don't know much about him, but someone clearly cared enough about this man to bring him to Jesus. This man was unable to approach Jesus for himself, but someone cared enough that they were willing to take the risk of bringing the man before Jesus. The demon kept the man from speaking, but it also kept the man from relationships. Relationships with other people and with society, but more importantly, it kept him from having a relationship with God. The having the demon inside of him meant that he was cut off from God. The man's inability to speak physically seemed to echo his inability to speak with God, as the evil residing in him ensured he could not connect with God. Jesus looked at this man and drove the demon out, physically restoring the man's ability to speak. However, Jesus did more than physical restoration. He also restored the man spiritually, enabling him to speak with God once more. Jesus reopened the man's mouth physically and spiritually. The man could now speak spiritually with God, where before he had been kept silent. As is so often the case in the miracles of Jesus, we see there is both a physical and a spiritual element to what he does. For the demon-possessed man, Jesus gave him back the chance to have a relationship with God. He gave him a second chance at life. Jesus enabled the mute man to speak, yes, but more importantly, to speak with God. The demon-possessed man was brought before Jesus by someone who cared enough to want to see their friend or perhaps family member restored. This is an important reminder to us that we also have a responsibility to bring our loved ones before God. Now, I'm going to make an assumption that it is unlikely you are aware of any demon-possessed friends or family, but I'm certain that you all know someone who is lost, in need of saving, in need of healing, in need of Jesus' restoring touch. How can this story inspire you to bring that person or people before Jesus? How are you lifting them up to God in prayer? How are you speaking to them about God? Do not let them remain unconnected to God. When we stay silent, we are allowing Satan to keep our mouths shut and keeping people from meeting with Jesus. Jesus longs to restore people physically, mentally, spiritually. Are you in need of restoration? Is someone you love in need of restoration? Let God do miracles in your life and in the lives of those around you. God still performs miracles today. Will we allow him to do them in our lives? The man possessed by a demon was miraculously given a new chance and spiritual restoration. Jesus provided him with spiritual insight by removing the demon from him. In the case of the two blind men, it is clear that while they were physically unable to see, they were still able to spiritually see more clearly than many others. The men called to Jesus, "Have mercy on us, son of David." They did not refer to Jesus as Rabbi, Teacher, Lord, Jesus, or any other titles that are used by people speaking to Jesus in the Gospels. Instead, they recognised Jesus' authority and power by acknowledging him as Messiah and King of Israel. The Old Testament contained the promise of a future king from David's line who would establish the kingdom of God on earth. By declaring that Jesus is the son of David, they are asserting that he is the one who is prophesied about throughout the whole Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there are many passages which speak about the coming of the Messiah, in which he brings restoration, including bringing sight to the blind. For example, in Isaiah 42, God speaks, saying, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant to the people, a light to the for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prisons, and to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness." So the blind men would have heard those words, listened to the promise of blind eyes becoming opened, and they believed that Jesus was the one who was prophesied. And this gave them the confidence to approach Jesus, asking for mercy. When Jesus turns to them and asks, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" they are bold in their confidence, replying firmly, "Yes, Lord." Jesus restores their physical sight and tries to stop them from telling people what had happened, but they are too overwhelmed by God's grace. And so they spread the news despite Jesus' order not to. Jesus, again, didn't want to attract the wrong attention and become a spearhead of a revolution. Though the blind men were unable to see physically, there was nothing wrong with their spiritual eyes, as they correctly identified Jesus as the promised Messiah, the son of David. This is in stark contrast to the so-called religious elite. When the Pharisees saw the miracles Jesus performed, they did not praise God for sending the promised one. Instead, they blasphemed against him, saying, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." The ridiculousness of that accusation is made plain in Jesus' response to this accusation that they lay against him again later in Matthew's Gospel. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? They were so blinded to the reality of who Jesus is that they were willing to spout nonsense to try and make sense of Jesus' work without ascribing the power that rightly belonged to him. We need to keep our eyes open, not just our physical ones, but our spiritual eyes, to see what Jesus is doing, to see the reality of who he is. When we do, we are able to see amazing things. We are able to glorify God as he truly is, because we are praising him with spiritual eyes and not by our physical sight. Are your spiritual eyes open? In the past few weeks, as we've journeyed through Matthew's Gospel, we have seen Jesus do amazing miracles and wonders. He raised a girl from the dead, purified a woman made unclean by incessant bleeding, gave sight to the blind, and voice to the mute. In just these four miracles, we see a deeper spiritual message in which Jesus gives life, cleansing, understanding, and then testimony. This is what he does for each of us. By dying on the cross and raising to life again, Jesus gives us new life. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." We are given new life because Christ has raised us from where we were dead in our sins. He has also cleansed us, washing us clean, removing the stain that prevented us from entering God's presence. As it says in 1 John 1 verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." The Spirit also opens our minds and helps us to see more of God. We continue to ask God to refresh and renew this understanding, as Paul prayed for the Colossians in Colossians 1 verse 9 to 14. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus has given us new life. He has cleansed us and given us understanding. And because of all of that we respond to by opening our mouths in testimony, declaring the glory of the Lord. We speak of his glorious riches and tell of all he has done, because to do anything else is to deny how amazing our God is. So let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. We thank you that you have given us new life. You've washed us clean and purified us. And you've given us understanding so that we can see who you are. And so, Lord, we praise you with our tongues and we testify to who you are amongst our friends and our family. Lord, I thank you that you were willing to reach out to those who were suffering, those who were blind, who were demon-possessed, and you gave them hope, you restored them to life. And so, Lord, for those who are suffering today, I pray that you would give them hope and restore them to life, whatever that might mean for them. Lord, be our Saviour, our healer, and our comforter. And above all, restore us, Lord, so that we can glorify you in all that we do. Amen.